Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we're visiting with Tom Chapman, Executive Director of the Iowa Catholic Conference, to talk about the 2023 legislative session and the priorities of the bishops of Iowa. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on the bishop's mind.
Hard to believe we're arriving already at the end of January here. Yes. You know, and we know the professional football season heating up and those results, but our thoughts and prayers, like so many millions of people, with Damar Hamlin and that the story there, God kind of changing water into wine there and the graces that have happened, but rousing people to prayer, obviously staring in his own mortality and faith, but now seeing God using him in a different way. And so his recovery and so many others maybe who aren't as heralded or gaining as much attention, but various people who find themselves knowing their infirmity. May, as we approach the World Day of Sick in February, our Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes on the 11th, may they know the intercession and the mantle of protection of the Blessed Mother. Lots of saints feasting these days, you know. Tomorrow we'll have the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, so dear to many of us. And Catholic Schools Week officially kicks off next week. But it was so good to be with the young people again at the Shelby County Catholic School in Harlan, kind of uniting the various five communities there. And they just have a marvelous job. And just saying, you know, their children's choir, their student choir is among the best. They just really let loose with the love of the Lord and some great talent, too, you know. I just continue to enjoy the talent. Earlier in January, I was at the Dahlin Catholic Madrigal Dinner, and, you know, it was a cast of 100 or more there as well. So, again, the young people and their gifts that are playing and coming into their own in a very beautiful way. The on a universal level of the church, the synod process continues. We continue to be in consultation, the continental phase, as they call it. And so Canada and the United States are one region where there's collaboration, you know, en français or en anglais. But, you know, for us in our own diocese, the five representatives continue to engage with the larger church level, too. And so I've been privileged to be part of those conversations as we roll forward. We know that, you know, some of the perhaps challenges or criticisms even that the synodal document. So I think it's a moment of reflection. And I think, you know, if we think about church councils in the past and gathering of pastors, sometimes almost a knockdown drag out once in a while. But I hope, you know, with charity and civility that things will prevail. And we look for this unity, the Week of Christian Unity, which concluded earlier this week on the 25th, the Feast of Conversion of St. Paul. We know there are so many things that with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we are aligned on. Maybe with Tom Chapman, we're going to hear some of those issues here in the state in a moment. But there are also painfully things that divide us in our different takes, even as we're inspired by the scriptures, what our Catholic social teaching calls of us. But sometimes there are different perspectives of what truly leads to human flourishing. So we continue to humble ourselves and ask God to realize the prayer of Jesus for Christian unity. We think about artists, you know, not just within our diocese, but musicians, you know, such as the group Scythian. I don't know, Kelly, if you've ever heard of Scythian or listened to any of their music.
No.
it's not one of my automatic things on Sirius Radio to bring them up. But Alexander and Danilo Federica, you know, a group, they are themselves Ukrainian ancestry, the sons of Ukrainian immigrants, you know, who came over to flee oppression in earlier generations. So very mindful that, you know, we may have had a mild winter overall, but the brutal weather for our Ukrainian friends, and so the aid there to provide heat and the basic necessities that are there. So they're partnering with the Knights of Columbus, donating 100% of all their digital downloads, all 16 of their albums, through their Shopify page until March 1st. So we've got just basically another month here. They started this in the Christmas season, but they're trying to provide support, and they're partnering with the KC's Ukraine Solidarity Fund. It's an easy click. Some of us have supported through the Ukraine Solidarity Fund or Catholic Relief Services Ukraine Relief. But I think they found themselves, they're both Alexander and Danilo, are members of the Knights of Columbus. So check it out. And another way that we do not forget our oppressed brothers and sisters in Ukraine.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson.
At InterVisions Healthcare, we see patients with unplanned pregnancies from ages 12 to 43. An unplanned pregnancy is traumatic at any age. For that reason, we specialize in educating, encouraging, and empowering vulnerable and at-risk mothers facing an unexpected pregnancy with the medical information and services necessary for them to make an informed decision. For more information on the free medical services at InterVisions Healthcare, or to support our mission or become a volunteer, visit ivhcare.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio comes from businesses and organizations who share in the mission of connecting listeners to Christ while connecting you to their products and services they provide. To learn more and support the businesses and organizations who support the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, visit iowacatholicradio.com to view our business sponsors. If you'd like more information on how your business or organization can become a business sponsor, contact Deacon Mark 515-223-1150, 515-223-1150.
Welcome back to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. We are back with Tom Chapman, Executive Director of the Iowa Catholic Conference. He's here to tell us everything we need to know about the 2023 legislative session and the priorities of the bishops of Iowa.
So, again, you're a friend of the show, Tom. This is one of several appearances. Thank you for making time as things are heating up at the Capitol. And the governor kind of got the ball rolling and has stirred a lot of attention. Even the newspaper that Iowa depends upon has seen fit to weigh in, you know, saying that, you know, in terms of parochial education, you know, that those who are not Catholic are condemned to misery, you know, which I wonder about the good people at St. Malachy's School that I celebrated Mass with before Christmas. And they seem to be all pretty happy, the Catholics and non-Catholics alike, you know, and quite an environment there. But so what's all the fuss about here?
Well, the governor announced her school choice program, which we've been working on, as you know, for many years at the Capitol. And basically what it would be is education savings accounts would be made available to any parent ultimately that would want to send their child to a non-public school. And so that would be about $7,600 for every school year. And we're very excited about seeing that. You know, sometimes when I see what the register says, I wonder how the public school people feel about that, condemned to a life of misery in the public school. You know, that's, I don't think they like that either, you know, in a lot of ways. So,
but yeah, I mean, and as a public school.
Well, yeah, I went to public school. I mean, we had a good public school. It's not about that. You know, it's about every kid has individual needs. And for some kids, it's going to be best in the public school. We all know that. Lots of people who work on our side will send their kids to a public school and vice versa. You know, you've got people who are trying to, you know, take down the ESA program and they're sending their kids to a private school. So it's about what's best for your kids. And so this is now moving through the legislative process. There's been some hearings already. I expect this to be a conversation ongoing. You know, we don't know if it'll be done early, you know, right now in the session, or if it'll be done late. But, you know, trying to look at it objectively, the governor is very supportive of it. She kind of feels she has a mandate to pass something good. And so we'll just have to see how far that goes.
Is this a little bit of a case of go big or go home? I mean, because the previous amounts that were broached, you know, in previous years, previous sessions, not anywhere near this. And so it's like, okay, the full amount per capita that is calculated at that $7,600 figure.
Yeah, I think we're very happy with the size of the program. And of course, that's what we've been advocating for, is a universal program that would be available to all parents and people can take advantage or not. But if you look at what happens in other states, there's no mass exodus from the public schools. You know, most people have their child in a school where they want them to be, but there's some people who just can't make the finances work for a lot of reasons. And so, you know, you would have some people who would switch from the public school. And for every child that switches from the public school, that school will still get, you know, $1,200 for that student, even though the student's no longer there, you know. So it's not a horrible deal for the public schools in that regard. I think there's a lot of excitement at the Capitol about this to really get something going. And there may have to be some changes to the program, you know, as it progresses. But I feel like we've got a good shot to get something good done.
Yeah. And, you know, when we think about, yes, faith, we want to be woven throughout the whole environment of a school, and that these kind of spontaneous things, the conversations, the teachers can make connections. As again, you know, I mentioned St. Malachy, the teachers, you know, can be in science class and talking about something, you know, that God's creation, you know, but not creationism, you know, the rigors of science applied in its own right in this way. So, but providing, you know, something that's going to be tailored, the mystery of who the world, but the mystery of each individual and discovering ourselves in light of God's love and all that's provided for that. So, you know, I think our parochial schools are doing very well in that. If we think about total numbers, again, I was trying to do the math myself. Am I coming anywhere close if they're saying a figure? Now, is it the total going to be 330 million, 120 million? I've seen different numbers bounced around. In light of what is it for, you know, $3.4 billion for the public schools?
Yeah, and that's just the state aid, you know, that number that you talked about. There's a lot of local property taxes, of course, that public schools receive. So the first year program is, it's estimated to be 107 million, and then they're saying it could be like 330 million a year. I think that's possible. I actually don't think it's going to be quite that much, but if you look in context of what is spent on public education in the state, K through 12, it's well under 4 or 5%. So let's say it's 4%. For 4% increase in funding, you can give choice to every single parent. I mean, I think that's worthwhile. I think our kids are worth that, you know, especially in a state that values education as much as Iowa does. It's different in Iowa to have this discussion because a lot of states, you know, it's generally accepted the public schools aren't doing very well. Well, here in Iowa, people love their public schools, and rightfully so. And so it's a different conversation. And now we're just talking about more opportunities for more kids.
Okay. And what would be some of the states that have similar programs to what the governor's proposing?
Yeah, I would say a couple similar states. Arizona just passed a universal ESA program, so they're going through a whirlwind of trying to figure that out and get people signed up and things like that. Florida has a very robust choice program. Ohio. In Indiana, they have more of a voucher-like program, direct scholarships to the schools, to the private schools. 85% of the students in Indiana would qualify for a scholarship. But of course, the uptake, as we said, is much less than that, just a couple percent from the public schools. So they have very robust programs. The public schools are still there. They're still getting more money every year. And the idea that these rural schools are going to close or something like that, it's ludicrous. I mean, if there was one school that closed, we'd know about it. It really isn't happening. And it's disappointing that some of that rhetoric comes through that way. But I feel we'll be able to kind of fight our way through that. And we've had a great response to our action alert so far.
Yeah. And, I think, you know, for us, really, we have three rural schools, you know, and the collaboration, for instance, with St. Patrick Perry and the public school district is impressive. You know, there's a bond of trust there. Different services can be provided. So this isn't a competition. I think everybody can win and benefit from this.
I think ultimately it will be a win-win. I mean, we do a lot of work at the Capitol with the public school group that's not well known. You know, really almost the only thing we oppose each other on is the school choice issue. Other times we work a lot with the public schools on different issues. And then when it plays out at the local level, of course, you've got schools that collaborate all the time. So I feel like this is going to be a way, you know, that if something can be worked out and people will figure out what the new normal is and will move forward to help kids.
Okay. So obviously the four bishops of the Iowa Catholic Conference, and I've taken the baton from Bishop Nicholas in terms of just being the kind of the representative for the Iowa Catholic Conference, all endorsing this wholeheartedly.
Yeah, we're very excited to see that kind of level of support from the bishops, which has always been there. I mean, we've been working on school choice issues for decades in the state. I mean, there was a statement that the bishops did in 1996, which was asking for very similar things. And we just have to keep working on it. And sometimes an idea's time has come, and I think this might be it.
So 26 years, 27 years later, yeah. Tom, you're the repository of the oral tradition here. You know,
I think so. And it was going on in the late 1800s, too, you know, as the public schools were moving and they were Protestant, really, public schools. Okay. The Catholic bishops were asking for support for Catholic schools. Mm. So it's really, you know, well over 150 years worth of work that's been in it. Most countries in the world do have support for private schools. United States has been an outlier for that. But I think we're working through that now, and we're heading towards a good resolution.
Yeah, I certainly saw that in my time living in Colombia or Bolivia. You know, the collaboration that goes on there. And by the way, you know, you're like Dorian Gray, Tom. You never age.
It doesn't feel like that in the morning. We'll just say that.
I'm not going to ask you for money flattering you. Yeah. All right. But what would be the impact? I mean, we have an Ignite campaign that's in the final legs here in the diocese, trying to provide an additional level of support for people in that middle income range. But there's going to be, and so, you know, relieving some of the load on parishes, enhancing teachers' salaries, which is a key piece, both for the public schools and for the parochial schools. But what would be the impact on the school tuition organization or in our diocese Catholic tuition organization?
Well, my feeling is, of course, depending upon how the program actually gets enacted, I think there's going to always be a role for the CTO or the STO in the sense that there will be, in some instances, you know, some families that have many children in the school system, and the amount of money just isn't quite enough to make it happen. There are some schools that, especially in the Christian school world, where their tuition is much higher than what you would experience in a Catholic school. So I think there will be ways that we need to help other families, even with an ESA program. But I think you're right in the sense that we want to keep that model of parish support, you know, tuition, other fundraising. But also we need to understand that parishes have other priorities, too. They have faith formation needs other than schools, and we need to help them with that. And so we're being crystal clear and transparent about the fact that tuitions will go up, but tuitions will go up to really more closely match the cost of education. A lot of parents don't realize, and I've been, you know, kind of banging on the schools to get them to make sure parents know this, is that every student in a Catholic school is getting a subsidy already. They're not paying the full cost with their tuition. They're getting 50% off the top, you know. And so people need to understand it costs a lot of money to run a school. You want to pay teachers what you'd like to pay them rather than what you can pay them. And so I think that's going to be something that we're moving to, and we're clear about those things that need to happen.
And I think in the pandemic, this is one of the vivid things we saw, the vocational commitment of the school teachers and administration and staff, you know, through thick and thin, they were there and they were ready to be forward. And I think we need to honor that and recognize that these people have families and they need to have a just wage. Maybe turning now, another initiative that mentioned by the governor and even kind of shining a light on people that we know here, the Inner Visions Clinic and other things, but the Moms Program. And this was broached last year and then kind of came out a little lean based on expectations, but hope springs eternal this year.
Yeah, they do have a new staff person in place to run the Moms Program at the state, and that,
And that's an acronym, right? More options for maternal support.
Yeah,
right?
More options for maternal support. And so what it would do is it would fund pregnancy counseling centers, essentially. There was $500,000 put in the budget for this year. I think the governor is suggesting $2 million for the next fiscal year, which would be good. And so that money should start to be rolling out. It's going to help women with their needs when they're pregnant. And the governor is suggesting those funds could also be used for dads, you know, who we need to keep families together. We need to encourage people to form families and get married. And I think there are some good things that the pregnancy counseling centers can help play a role in that. And so there'll be more discussions about what the policy will look like this year. This will probably be more of probably towards the latter part of the session, because it really has directly to do with an appropriation. But I'm excited about the opportunities to talk about that. And this is part of our pro-life outlook, too. You know, I mean, we really need to be focusing on this in terms of the post-Dobbs, you know, landscape that we have.
Amen. You mentioned, you know, at the time of pregnancy and everything else, is there any provision for postnatal support and accompaniment?
Yeah, absolutely. That's envisioned. It's, you know, before and after. And so there'll be a support that the pregnancy counseling centers can help in terms of maybe helping people find housing, maybe helping them get into a job, you know, making sure they have what they need in terms of material things with diapers and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities that will be there. And actually, I'm kind of interested to see, you know, what the pregnancy counseling centers are going to suggest, you know, because they'll apply for the funds and they will come up with some ideas at the local level, which I think is good. And that's that principle of subsidiarity again. You know, not everything has to be done directly by the government. You want to work on things at the local level. And there'll be a lot of good ideas that come up from that, I think.
Oh, amen. Amen. And kind of dispels that canard that you know, Catholics are only interested in life in the womb and nothing beyond that, you know.
Well,
the continuum of care, right?
Yeah, you know, that's one of my top 10 things I hate, you know, when I hear that. That drives me absolutely nuts because, we know, you know, that's parishes are there for outreach. We know that we see them do a lot of good work at the local level. And the idea that nobody cares after that, all they have to do is pay a little bit of attention to know that that's not true. And we'll continue to approach it that way.
I mean, Catholic Charities, their emergency shelters, and all the counseling services and other things that might be here. You know, we've got a little bit of time in this segment here, so we can kind of branch out to maybe some other things here, too. You know, our Catholic Charities obviously is interested in refugee settlement and support. Are there some ideas being proposed in the refugee realm?
Well, we've been working as the Iowa Catholic Conference with refugee resettlement agencies to come up with a proposal to take to the legislature for extended case management, because the agencies receive 3 months of funds from the federal government to do that initial resettlement. But after that, no federal funds. So what we're trying to do is have the state step in with a little extra money at the end of that 3 months to provide some additional services, whether it's just, once again, housing support, transportation, legal services, you know, to people to apply through the asylum system, that sort of thing. And so we're working on that. We just had a meeting last week with a couple. It was very bipartisan, you know, two Republican, two Democrat legislators. I think there's a lot of interest in moving forward with something. And so they've got a first draft of the legislation. I expect we'll see that introduced before too long.
Okay. Just the even mention of the word asylum gets some people very concerned, you know, what Catholic Charities or other Catholic-sponsored institutions are doing. But these are all through legal channels.
Yes.
Totally vetted, not incentivizing that, but taking and dealing with people who, you know, for various reasons, you know, are not able to have a life worth living in their native country or that to immigrate. So USCCB, Migration and Refugee Services, working with the U.S. government in this regard. So it's all very clear and above board. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And these are people who have had terrible things to them, and they're the most vetted people in the world. So I think it's fair to say we can give them some help.
Okay. I hope you'll stick around, Tom.
I will.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinsarah.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by CTO. What great news for donors to the Catholic Tuition Organization. You now receive 75% of your donation back in Iowa tax credits. Your support has helped thousands of students attend our Catholic schools. Best gift ever. Online, ctoiowa.org. At CTO, the bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Welcome back to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. We are back with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference.
So we think about tangible forms of relief and kind of expanding this notion of defending life and the dignity of life and the culture that's there. Initiatives with regard to food stamps and things that are happening in that realm.
Yeah, there's some proposals out there which would really try to lock down the system of how people apply for benefits and receive benefits. Unfortunately, there's also a policy piece in the first version of this which would create a new asset test before someone could receive food stamps. And our reading of that is after, you know, if you have a second vehicle and it's worth more than $4,500, you couldn't get food stamps. And I don't think that's very realistic for people who need to drive to work, especially in rural areas of Iowa. And so that's something we've worked against the last couple of years and been able to stop up. And we're working on it again.
And lower income people oftentimes have to drive for farther distances.
Yeah, of course. And the whole idea is you want people to work. I mean, that's the whole mm-hmm. message. And if people are able to work, they should work. And so I think that would be a negative change to our system. There are some other changes they're looking at for Medicaid. And part of the difficulty is with the end of the public health emergency, a lot of people are going to be going off Medicaid. There's nothing that can change that. But you don't want to really push people off if you don't need to. And so part of the problem is if you have too high a bar for people to have to qualify and go through the all the processes required, it, you know, people will leave even though they actually qualify for benefits. And we don't think that's a positive either. So we'll be watching that bill, looking for some good changes, and hopefully can achieve something that will make for a better system.
Mm-hmm. And then something else that was kind of intriguing to me, a kind of probation credit, you know, again, thinking about empowering people and incentivizing things for their own development.
Yeah, actually, the Catholic Church is very much interested in the corrections and justice system and trying to get people integrated into society. In fact, Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Dubuque has a very robust reentry program. There's a proposal that we've worked on for a couple years, which would provide probation credits for someone who is on probation, but they're getting more education or they've got a job. And it would encourage them, we think, to get back into the community quicker and enable them to go off of probation quicker. We think we can do that and still keep society safe. There's a lot of groups who are working for that. I don't think we're going to see the opposition from the county attorneys this year as much as we've seen in some previous versions of the bill. So we're part of a bigger group that's working on that, and I anticipate that we'll be able to get something moving, and hopefully we'll get it all the way to the governor's desk this year.
Okay, so not subsidizing their education, but just recognizing that their initiative to pursue further education and enhance their skill set, that would qualify and maybe truncate some of their probation.
Exactly.
Time.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. Well, we had another legislative breakfast this past Tuesday. You're kind of the host of those things there, and it's good to rub shoulders in a more informal way and get to know, develop relationships across both sides of the aisle and things. But that's been going on for some time, Tom. And how is that kind of an expression of your role there as?
Well, I think it's very important for me, to be honest, for legislators to see the connection to the bishops, because I'm up there every day, but it's just not Tom Chapman's agenda. You know, I want them to understand that this is something that the Catholic bishops of Iowa are interested in. And so that's a very important sign for me. And so it is very informal for the legislators who do stop by, you know, to say hello to the bishops or their local people. And we have our board and committee members, of course, are invited. So they got to rub shoulders with them. And this year was particularly important because there are so many new legislators. More than a third of the two chambers are new. So this is, I certainly not in my time, and I think long before that, not so many new people. So it's really important. There are some people I haven't even met yet that I've been trying to get to. And so this was a good way to try to see everybody.
Okay, yeah. And, and a little FaceTime with certain elected officials, too, that we always try to have.
So yeah, I mean, we did secure a meeting with the governor, and so there was that, and also with meetings with legislative leaders. And it's important to stay in touch with them so they know what we're working on and we know what they're interested in. And sometimes those align and sometimes they don't. But that's the purpose of having the meetings and the discussion.
Well, I know you're well-respected by all sides. So thank you again for your work in running the race and being our mouthpiece and bringing, I think, Catholic social teaching to light.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This has been another edition of Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.